Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned to
Disorderly Conduct
with your host,
Vincent the Bay.
Vince in the Bay.
Hi there, honey. I'm number one-y.
Hi there, fella. I'd like to see you after the show.
Vince in the Bay.
Another edition of Disorderly Conduct. I'm your host, Vincent the Bay. I'll be your audio erotic host for the next 2 hours. That's right. It's Manic Monday, February 4th, 2013. I'm very excited about tonight's show. Russell League Radio Live is here. We can start the show now. My bad. Good. Glad we have your approval there, Russell League Radio. And you guys should check out Russell League Radio. They've got their own fucking radio program now. That's right. They had their first show on Saturday. And oh yeah, I thought Shmoop. I thought Shmoop pretty much established with Ron Breinart that you guys are not supposed to use the word Russell, Jimmies, or Jews. I believe that was the deal. I already see people using Russell and Jimmies. So, Norwac, you're going to get some time out. Time out, Norwac, for using Russell and Jimmies. If Ron Breinart was here, he'd kick your ass, dude. Oh, Nyan. Oh, you're gonna challenge the Breinart rules, huh? Okay, you can go on mute too. I'm sorry, I called him by his real name. We're supposed to call him He whose name we shall not say. Just like we call Sue Basco, she whose name we shall not say. Okay? I have some guests lined up that I'm very excited about. They are both, I believe, big fans of Ron Breinert as well, and I think he's a big fan of theirs. I have Neil Rauhauser and Brooks Bain, who will be on the show momentarily. Neil Rauhauser is a friend of the show. He's been on here several times. Y'all are familiar with him. If you're not familiar with Brooks Bain, hopefully tonight you will get very familiar with him. He is he's a right-wing commentator, blogger. He writes for thetrenches.com, and you should follow him on Twitter, twitter.com/BrooksBayne, B-A-Y-N-E. He's fucking funny as fuck. Anyway, so I have a shit ton of callers online. We will get to your calls momentarily, or as soon as we can. But first, Spyco decided he's going to scroll early. So I will mute early. Spyco, 2 minutes for scrolling. Oh, man. Okay. So tonight's show, there's plenty of things to talk about. Today was, I call the show Manic Monday, and it is, definitely has been a Manic Monday. The work week has begun, and people are already going nuts on Twitter. Ron Paul caused quite a stir today after sending out a tweet that caused extraordinary butthurt amongst the conservative neocon contingent in reaction. And this was a statement that he made on Twitter in reaction to the tragic death of the infamous U.S. Navy SEAL sniper Chris Kyle. Full disclosure, I had no idea who he was until he got killed today, or the other day. But Ron Paul made some comments that were very insensitive, very insensitive. He said, "He who lives by the sword dies by the sword." Now, while that's a true statement, and people took that as him suggesting that our troops, our veterans, deserve to die because they killed other people, which is retarded. Okay, Ron Paul is a veteran himself. He also pointed out the fact that, hey, maybe it's not such a good idea to bring somebody that's suffering from mental disorders, who's threatened to kill himself and his family in the past, who's suffering from severe post-traumatic stress disorder. They brought this guy to a gun range. I mean, seriously. That's like, apparently this sniper guy, poor guy who died, Chris Kyle, he was working with veterans who were dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder, and I guess they decided that a good way for him to deal with this was to go to a fucking shooting range, and the guy turned a gun on him and one other dude and killed him and took off with their truck. So, I'm going to have to side with Ron Paul on this. You know, it's not a good idea to bring somebody that is severely mentally unstable, bringing them to a gun range. That's just, it's like bringing a recovering drug addict to a Grateful Dead concert. It's just stupid. But those insensitive remarks were taken as a disdain, of course, towards the U.S. troops by the reactionary wannabe war hawk conservatives who've just been dying to jump on Ron Paul because they've always hated his foreign relations, his stance on foreign relations. And so the conservative blogosphere erupted today, which is kind of fun to watch. So I gotta give props to Ron Paul for shaking things up. And then he did another tweet or Facebook post later, kind of trying to save face and backpedaling a little bit. But, you know, it's, people have their mind made up on with Ron Paul. So that happened. And what else? Oh, this dude, Todd Kincannon, leader of the Twitter Gulag Defense Network, is up to no good again. He sent out some very choice tweets during Super Bowl Sunday about Trayvon Martin, suggesting that Martin deserved to be put down like a rabid dog, and that Trayvon had grown up, had he stayed alive and grown up, he would have sucked dick for drug money. Now, of course, he's basing this all off of tweets, that old tweets that he saw of Trayvon's, you know, him trying to be all gangster and shit. And so somehow that, I don't know, I saw an interview with him on, was it HuffPost Live? He basically admitted that he just makes these statements to piss people off and make a name for himself, really. And hey, he's made a name for himself. The thing is, his Twitter Gulag Defense Network has turned into the exact thing that it was meant to combat. I mean, Todd Kincannon basically has his own little Twitter, personal Twitter army. And if I was a member of this Twitter Gulag Defense Network, I'd be like, Todd, bro, we're not your personal army, man. But he's treating them like they are. So I'm going to talk to Neil and Brooks about that and more. Also, take your calls. It looks like we have quite a few people on the board that are excited to join the conversation, and we will do that momentarily. Please tweet out the show if you haven't already. There's a little okay, Russell League just said Jews. All right, that means you are on timeout. You're violating your own goddamn rules. Anyway, tweet out the show. There's a little tweet button underneath the okay. Socks on socks on socks. I know who that is, and I have no problem with kicking him out of the room. Good night, socks on socks on socks. Thanks for coming out. Okay. God damn it, Spyco, you piece of shit. I'm sorry, people. I just gotta tidy up my chat room there. Okay. All right. I'm gonna take a quick little breather and come right back with Neil Rauhauser and Brooks Bain. If you want to join us, 347-826-7667. Jesus, what's today? Manic Monday? That means I have to play, who are those? The Bangles? Yeah, I got to play the Bangles. Bangles. Bangles, where are you? Maybe I don't have it in here. Jesus Christ. Okay, fuck it. Here's another Monday song. I'll be right back.
Monday morning, Monday morning. Broadcasting live from the Bay to Bombay, back to the BK and down to LA.
You're tuned to Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince in the Bay. Call in now, biatches, 347-826-7667. And now, back to the show.
Hey, 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 it's Vince of the Bay back with you. How do I sound out there, everybody? Do I sound okay? Getting reports that I'm Patriot Gregging. Yeah, I'm definitely unmuted. I know that. Jay Flint says, like velvet. Fantastic. Okay. All right. Without any further ado, I want to bring on Neil Rauhauser. What's up, Neil?
Hey, how's it going, Vince?
Doing good, man. Doing really good. Glad to have you and Brooks join me. I'll introduce Brooks in just a moment. But what's been going on with you?
You know, I've been just really busy. After the last election, I changed up jobs and have hardly had any time for Twitter or anything like that. And I'm back to writing and researching stuff that requires a lot more detailed attention than what was going on around the election. So I've pretty much been buried.
Right on. We heard you from you not too long ago, though. Wasn't it just like a week ago we were talking about Barrett Brown?
Yeah. There was some talk about Barrett Brown and his...
That was a fun show. And you stayed through the whole show. That was awesome.
Yeah, we ended up talking about half a dozen different arrests and kind of the whys and wherefores and who was actually an informant. And as far as we can tell, it's none of those based on how they pled.
Right. Yeah, and PayPal 14 has some sort of gathering on the 1st of March. Have you heard about that?
No. I've not followed that one as closely.
Yeah, I think I've been paying attention to it because it's happening in the Bay Area. It's happening down in San Jose. And I'm pretty sure they have some sort of, I think they might be working on a plea deal or settling out of court. I don't know. But they have some sort of meeting where they're all getting together on the 1st. I don't think it's a hearing or anything. So that might be an interesting development there. I'll hit up my sources and get back to you on that. But first of all, I want to get your take on this whole Todd Kincannon character. What is his deal?
I think Brooks would be about 10,000 times better than me on this. I noticed Kincannon probably a year ago. He said something about me once. I just blocked him. I looked over his timeline, and I thought, I have enough stupidity like this in my life. So I just shut him down, never responded to him, and don't know all that much about him beyond the chatter that I see. But I think Brooks can probably provide some enlightenment
all right.
in that area.
Okay, well then let's ask Brooks. Welcome to the show, Brooks Bain, everybody. Welcome, Brooks.
Hey, Vince. What's up?
Hey, you're on with myself and Neil, and as you heard, we were talking about this character, Todd Kincannon. I just saw another interview with him on, where was it? HuffPost Live. He talked with that Alona chick. She was raging. She wanted to rage so hard on him. You could just see it in her eyeballs.
I missed it.
Oh, it was great. But yeah, this guy, that was the first time I really got to hear him talk at length, and he's just a fucking mega troll. That's all he is. Am I wrong?
That's what he states. That's what he claims. I know Todd, contrary to popular belief, I don't hate the guy. I disagree with some of the things that he does and says, and based on my principles and the way that I roll. I don't really dig his flow, but apparently a lot of people do. So he's an attorney in South Carolina, a former South Carolina, executive director of the GOP. And apparently he likes women, and he likes showing them his penis. So
that's right. Didn't you rename the TGDN to something else?
Yeah, Todd's Gross Dick Pic Network. Yeah.
I love it.
That was it. But hey, I mean, like the what was it?
Winning.
You linked me to a story on Wonkette, and if obviously, you know, I didn't know how to take the story. I'm sitting here reading a left wing writer being somewhat nice when writing about me. I didn't know what the hell was going on at first. But yeah, he's. You know, clearly he wants women to see, as the writer of that article you linked me to, he wants women to see his penis. So
I love the picture. I'm going to put the link in the chat. I love the picture that's included. It's a pony with a penis as a, or no, it's a pony, I guess, in a unit with, but that's across with a unicorn, except for instead of a horn, it's a phallus. Brilliant. Dude. The chatters will gobble this up. Check this out. Patoosh.
Anyway, so Todd, yeah, he's getting a little following on Twitter and pissed a lot of people off. You know, he likes to. Can we curse on your show? Is that cool?
I encourage it. Yeah, you didn't hear me drop the F-bomb like 5 times in my opening?
Yeah, I guess it's my internal filter. But yeah, he's not very flattering of women that don't like the way that he rolls. I guess we won't dive into all the nice, colorful words that he calls them, but he developed a bit of a reputation as a misogynist. I don't know. I don't know if it's all an act or not. I just know that women have gotten close to him and it seems to always fall apart. And that's between him and them, I suppose, until they come to us at the trenches and say, hey. You know,
well, yeah, dude, the guy's sense of humor is fucking demented.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's a smart guy. Sometimes he's really funny, but it seems lately.
I haven't seen anything funny come from him yet. I'm waiting.
Well, I was going to say that more recently.
He's trying. Like he's definitely trying. I'll give him one
well,
thing. He's definitely trying.
Darker, right? He's gotten darker more recently. I don't know if it's drugs or maybe he can't find anybody to send dick pics to, and that's, you know, getting them all discombobulated. But, yeah, I've seen him be funny. Like I said, I don't hate the guy. I just disagree with a lot of the stuff that he chooses to do. But hey, I told him a couple days ago. He and Greg Howard and Randy of the Redwoods. Do your listeners know about
Greg Howard? Also blocked me. Greg Howard blocked.
Do your listeners know about Randy Hahn? What's his other name? Neil, do you know his other name?
Howard
Jason,
has another alias?
No, Jason Wade Taylor. That's
Jason
real name.
Taylor, okay. I know him as Randy. He's a source of ours. But apparently Todd and Greg and Randy were having a big row. And the other night I said, look, you guys, you can't keep each other underwater forever. So you don't like each other. You beat each other down all the time. How long are you going to keep each other down? Forever? No, shit. Let each other up for air. Move on. Neutral corners. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, it's all water out of the bridge. But now there's another whole group of people who are pissed off at Todd. And
yes,
the way
that's right, Todd Kincannon. You're on the Internet. And when you're on the Internet, he who lives by the sword dies by the sword, Todd.
God.
The Internet's coming for you, Todd.
Yeah. Speaking of which, did you want to cover Todd anymore?
No, we're done with Todd. Let's move on. What did you want to move on to?
Glenn Beck, right?
Oh, that dude. I forgot about him. What's up with him?
So, he recently made a comment about you in your opening. You were speaking about Ron Paul. So, Glenn Beck, don't know if you, I don't know, do your listeners, are they into the whole sociopolitical shit, or is this just completely
go for it, dude. I'm intrigued by what Glenn Beck has to say.
All right,
although, honestly, I think Glenn Beck hijacks 95% of his material from Alex Jones, but anyway, continue.
And now they live right down the street from each other.
No shit. Are you serious?
Well, no. I mean, Glenn was in New York, and now he's in Texas, and, you know.
Oh, is he really? Is that where? Oh,
yeah.
His little commune thing, right?
Yeah, he moved to Texas. So
he's some sort of community, though. I know he is. I read about
him. Yeah, he wants to create that.
Yeah, some utopian libertarian society.
Yeah.
He's going full throttle. We're talking about a full throttle.
It's the commune. It's exactly what he's preaching against.
David Koresh, man. Is he in Waco? I mean, because he's got David Koresh genes in him. You can tell just by looking at him.
No, there's going to be amphitheaters. There's going to be learning centers. We'll be able to get email. We'll be able to make independent productions. We'll have radio shows and TVs and... it'll be glorious. Sorry, what did Glenn Beck say about Ron Paul?
Well, you know, Glenn has tried to convince everyone recently that he's become a libertarian. I don't know if you knew that. So,
I don't really follow Glenn like I used to, but that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, so clearly all of the libertarians and... voluntarists, as they refer to themselves, that whole segment completely rejected the notion that Glenn Beck is now a libertarian. Much in the same way that I reject when a leftist says, wakes up one day and, like Cornohan, Lee Stranahan, for example, says, oh, hey, I wake up one day and now I'm a conservative. So similarly, Beck... has claimed libertarian status. However, that Israel First Twitter avatar is not so libertarian. But was really the kicker today. He says, and I quote, newest member of the Westboro Baptist Church, Ron Paul. So,
oh, dude.
Glenn, let me know how that libertarian thing works out for you. Let me know.
And he listens to the show, so he'll probably get back to you.
Yeah, sure he does.
I'm sorry, Glenn. My bad. He, from what I can tell, he's just gone back to being a morning shock jock, but in the afternoon. I mean, aren't all his DJ buddies the same dudes that were on his Morning Zoo crew team?
Yeah.
They just said they just changed formats. Oh, okay, fine. Talk radio is the thing now. Fine, no problem. Forget the Zoo crew. We'll talk politics. Whatever. He's a clown. He pulls shit out of his ass.
I do think he's a smart guy.
Oh, no doubt. Oh hell yeah. He's got his little niche. He's doing great. He's got a good little shtick. He's funny. I think he's funny. When I've only caught his show, randomly here and there, but I think he's a genuinely funny guy. I have heard his show, and I think he's funny. And his little goofball friends are funny too.
Maybe
Stewart. It's like Jon Stewart. You don't. I'm not going to go to Glenn Beck to find out what hard news is going on.
No. However, the Blaze is doing a pretty good job of if you're into the right-leaning perspective. They're, well, more of a neocon echo chamber influenced right-wing perspective of what goes on with Daily News. They're doing a pretty good job. Not as good as Daily Caller, in my view, but still there's really no news organization that exists on the planet that represents my views. So I'm just flapping in the breeze over here.
That's why you have the trenches, right?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Tell us about the trenches. What's up with that?
Started it as a response to slack-jawed GOP conservatives. These people don't represent, you know, GOP does not represent me. I've never been a Republican, which may surprise some of your listeners, especially if they've never really paid attention to my Twitter stream. So it was really started in response to that. Andrew had passed away. Andrew Breitbart had passed away. And most of the staff that weren't the inner circle had complained about what was going on over there, and a lot of folks didn't think they were going to make it after he passed away. And so the trenches was kind of my vehicle to launch as a next iteration after the Tea Party. You know, one of the a few dozen co-founders of the Tea Party movement. I was actually on the first national organizing call for the Tea Party. I don't know if you knew that, Vince.
No, I knew you were one of the first people that were all connected to that. Didn't Tony Katz come up on that too?
Yeah, I was the one that actually asked him to MC the events.
Like, yeah, what, like maybe like 2008,
2009? Yeah. I called up Tony and I said, hey, you like to talk?
Dude, best ever. Oh, my God.
Why don't you MC my Tea Party event? So, yeah, he MC'd the first several of the Los Angeles Tea Party events.
Dude, I went to one Tea Party event, and it was in Los Angeles. I wonder if you were there. It was at the pier in Santa Monica.
It was the first one, yeah. That was the first one I organized.
Dude, I got so much video from that. It's disgusting. I probably have you on videotape.
Of course you do.
It was April 15th, right?
No. I take it back. They had one April 15th, but I don't think it was at the end of the pier. The one we had in February was at the end of the pier, like all the way out at the end of the restaurant, which was kind of crazy.
I wasn't there for that. I was still, mm-hmm. I was still enslaved at the people's ethical treatment of animals.
No, the big one we had April 15th, that was in the Valley. So the April 15th one we did in the Valley, and then I think there was a group from the South Bay that came up and did the one in Santa Monica, but they were small.
It was great, man. And to me, I didn't feel like it was. To me, it felt like it was bipartisan. It was almost nonpartisan. I thought it was cool, man. It was a good mix of people, and you know, there was people that came out there that were self-avowed Democrats that were talking. There were, you know, of course, there were opportunists. There were like people running for city council sneaking up there, but. But for the most part, it seemed like, you know, it was kind of like a genuine reaction to some of the more of the financial stuff, like the TARP bailout. I think that was the thing that one of the things that helped spark the Tea Party, and that was one of the things that hooked me into it at first.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the beginning was. You know, most folks don't realize this, but the early meetings, the early discussions that we had about the movement was supposed to be nonpartisan. It was just as much about the spending under Bush as it was with Obama. Of course, Obama had just come into office, but some of the things that he was proposing. So it was really. A lot of, well, I can speak to the Los Angeles Tea Party area, which the dynamics of that group is different than some of the other places in the United States that were, you know, like take Dallas, Texas, for example. But in Los Angeles, there were, as you recognized, quite a few Democrats and other folks involved. And we were pretty inclusive. So I was really happy to be a part of that. And it really it wasn't as Nancy Pelosi and
said.
It wasn't astroturfed. I mean, there was nobody. Uh-huh. Look, I was there from the beginning. I was on the very first national Tea Party call with people like Michael Leahy and Amy Kramer and all those folks, Eric Odom. No one was paying us at the time. Well, no one was paying us. I later found out that some of those folks got money under the table, but no one was paying any of the folks in Los Angeles Tea Party group. So, but yeah, I was proud of that. Proud of the inclusive nature of it.
Dude, I got to show you this video. I'm going to link you to a video of that part because I shot video of the whole fucking Tea Party thing that I was at, and you'll probably get a kick out of it. And you'll probably recognize a shit ton of people too.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. To me, when Rick Santelli, that was sort of the media moment for the Tea Party. That was sort of a beacon.
That was it.
That was just pure poetry. I was like, seriously. I was on Twitter. I was like, Santelli 2008. Fucking Santelli for president, man.
Well, I haven't really told people on radio too much, or I keep my stuff mostly in social media. But the beginning of that, how that occurred. So Santilli had his rant. He's a buddy of mine who's really into he's just into finance all the time and works for a military contractor in their financial department. And so he hit me up and he told me, he said, hey, you got to check out Santilli's having his rant and check it out. So I caught the last part of it. I had to wait about 15 minutes for the whole thing to get uploaded so I could watch the part that I missed. But I, at the time, part of what I do, I've been a programmer for years and years and years. And early adopter of a lot of social media stuff, was writing some tools with a friend of mine who was an international brand manager for IBM. We had some ideas about how to go about developing solutions for socializing corporate brands. And so I'd written some cursory tools about how to track certain terms. This was back in the early days of Twitter. It was all these other tools that people are accustomed to using for analytics and all that. None of that shit existed back then. So I'd written some tools, and I plugged in the term Tea Party. I was like, holy shit, this is taking off, right? So I talked to some people. The Tea Party movement, a large part of the Tea Party movement was born out of the early Teacot stream, the early Teacot hashtag on Twitter, a group that had mobilized after the election. And we'd done some national grassroots stuff prior to Santilli's rant. So I had contacted some of the folks in the Teacot scene, and I said, holy shit, look at this Tea Party term is literally blown up in Twitter. And I think the only kind of trending tool that existed back then was, I don't know if you all remember, hashtag.org. Do you remember that tool back in the day? No?
Sorry, I was muted. No, I don't remember that. Wait, what was that? What was that original hashtag?
The one, Teacot?
Teapot or Tea what?
Teacot, T-C-O-T.
Right. Teacot. All right, I know what you're talking about now. Oh, okay. Top conservatives on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. I prefer the tea lot. I'm more of a tea lot guy.
Yeah, of course.
I lean tea lot, but I can appreciate Teacot. I'm Teacot on fiscal issues. I think I'm tea lot on social issues. and on, what is it, foreign policy? I think I'm kind of like, you know, let's treat the defense for what it is, defense, not offense.
Exactly. It sounds actually like you're probably a federalist and you just don't know it. But hey,
maybe I am. Tell me about federalism. That's right. You're a self-about federalist. Tell me how I am a federalist.
Well, I mean, it's a founding principles based ideology. It's strong enough government. The rest of the action occurs in the states. You see a lot of activity with the 10th Amendment Center. A lot of the states right now are currently nullifying a lot of federal laws, especially with regard to health care and firearms. So that's truly a federalist point of view. It's nullification comes directly from whom? Thomas Jefferson. So kind of letting people do their own thing, letting the states decide, letting people to vote with their feet rather than forcing everybody under the umbrella of the United States to have this homogenized view and have it be forced at the end of a gun or at the heel of a boot. You know, these are our founding principles. I mean, our founding fathers were brilliant men. I've yet to find any guys as a group who started a country who were more wise than, you know, who were wiser than those cats. So, yeah, I mean, it'd probably be a whole topic for another show.
Okay, I'm getting tweeted from who am I getting tweeted by? Dan, Rep Dan, and Russell League Radio, or Russell League say that my show's tangoed down. My show's still here. Blog Talk Radio does have tendency to hiccup once in a while, and if anything happens, you just refresh. Or a little more stable option is there's a little icon under the slideshow right by the player. It says launch in default player. Click that and launch that into your media. That'll launch in your media player and give you a media stream, and that'll be more. What the fuck is Russell League talking? Or was that a troll? Is that what that was? Was Russell League trolling me and Dan in cahoots with Dan Gordon? Okay, now you're back on. Okay, you know, Rep Dan is part potato, so he doesn't know any better. All right, continue. We're learning about federalism.
So, Dan's listening.
Brooks Bain, Neil Rauhauser. We're talking about federalism. What was that, Neil? Were you going to say something?
Oh, I Rep Dan's trying to call in.
No, Rep Dan is having a hard time just tuning in. I don't think he's going to be calling in.
Oh dear. All right.
Who knows though? He called in last week. He might call in this week. Rep Dan, if you're out there, call in. Why not? Maybe you're a federalist. You don't even know it, Rep
Dan. I think he's a libertarian. I think he wants to talk about. He wants to talk about Ron Paul.
Rep Dantard.
So anyway, enough about all the political crap. It's probably boring your listeners to tears. Let's get into some InfoWars shit.
InfoWars? Like what?
Yeah.
TARP? What are we talking about here? Conspiracy shit?
No, I'm not talking about like Alex Jones InfoWars. Like, you know, he got that term from others, you know.
Oh. I don't know, what else is there to talk about? The internet's fucking crazy, dude. People are nuts.
Talk about Project Vigilant.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know what the fuck Project Vigilant is. Tell me what that is.
Well, I mean, you got Neil on the show. He's actually in Project Vigilant. Why don't you let him tell us what it is? Or what?
Very well, then, Neil, please humor us and tell us what the hell fucking Project Vigilant is.
Okay, so here's the thing. I was only active with it from spring of 2009 till the end of the year. And then I formally split at the end of December 2010. I could just tell they were going to get into even more trouble than they did with Manning. But until I quit, I was the oldest surviving member of that group. And it's a bunch of people who came together in a certain IRC chat room way back when, like the later 90s, and had just, you know, it was a bunch of 20-somethings back then, and they all went on, and like half of them ended up in some sort of security-oriented position, and they stuck together. And so, you know, I still talk to some of the guys that are involved in that. And, so I, you know, Chet Ubers, the founder, and he's had some terrible health problems here the last 7 or 8 years. He had a heart attack in his early 40s. He's Jewish, so that's kind of a genetic thing. It's like his dad died at 49 or something.
Is that racist?
In the spring. What's that?
Is that racist?
Actually, if we're playing by Brainerd rules, I'd actually technically have to mute you, Neil, because apparently we play by the Wrestle League rules in here because we don't want to get Wrestle League in trouble. And so we try not to say the words, what is it, Jimmy, Russell, and Jew. You can't say that. So it's okay. You just replace it with Hebrew or something.
Yeah. All right. So, he called me, and he was in the process of recovering, and he wanted to get something started again. And I said, yeah, I'll help you. And, I did some stuff I can't talk about. We did some other stuff, and I became concerned. You know, part of my motivation was I knew that long term we'd have some problem with right wing extremism in this country, which I felt was not getting the attention that it needed. And
are you talking about me? Because
no,
I resent that.
No. I mean, when you talk about there are some people that are just out there. You know, and I think Ken Cannon is only the start of it. And, there are people that are potentially violently anti-government. And, that's a definite concern. I mean, until 9/11, if you look back in the 30 years prior to that, almost all of the terrorism activity in the U.S. came from the far right. And you've got to go clear back to the early 70s to find anything with, left-leaning extremism as the root of it. And,
to dispute that, but that's another time.
All right. Fair enough. But, what I saw was that it was, drifting towards this fascination with Muslims. And this is a policy problem for the U.S. in that we have, paid informants with six-figure incomes, and the kind of collars they're bringing in are, in particular, this one in New York. They had one guy who was schizophrenic and another guy who had an IQ of about 85. And we're talking some kids that couldn't roll a box of M80 firecrackers without assistance. And they got put away for some bombing plot. And it's just crap. And we've seen the same thing, the similar sort of set people up and drag them through court and put them away and make it look like you're doing something. And
Brandon Darby what?
Yeah. So we're seeing so much of that, and not only is it not solving a problem, but it creates more problems. Because if you think about it now, if we do actually have a genuine bad actor in the Muslim community, if you're a Muslim, are you going to report anything that you see going on? I sure as hell wouldn't, because that leads to what's your involvement? You get implicated, and you end up having a choice of being locked up for 5 years and pleading guilty, or you can try and fight it and then get locked up for 25.
So you're saying that Project Vigilant was put together to appease Muslims? What?
No. The initial thinking was that it was going to be focused on potential domestic problems, and it very quickly drifted into what I felt was an area that was already badly overdone in terms of law enforcement efforts. And it's continued, from what I can tell.
I don't know if you guys noticed, but we still have a Todd Kink Cannon. Todd Kink Cannon in the chat room.
A kinky cannon.
Yeah. God, and he says, God damn, Brooks Brain is
Okay. Gee, a troll?
So,
I've never experienced one of those before.
Never on this show. Doesn't happen. Apparently, people have been having some issues with the BTR playback. Seriously, dudes, just if the sound goes out, just refresh. If it doesn't come back, launch into the default player, please, just for the sake of the love of God. I actually probably get double the listens if you do that way too. If you log in on the site and on the player, I think that might count as two listens. I don't know how it works, man. They give me these numbers and they don't seem to make sense to me. But whatever.
So then what? So you created Project Vigilant. Were you one of the founders?
Well, here's the thing. You know, the initial group goes back to the 90s, but this is, I'm sure it looks really puzzling to outsiders.
Well, can we back up a little bit to just, sure. I mean, to understand based on the rundown that Vince gave me for his listeners. So Chet was involved with InfraGuard, and InfraGuard was a quasi-governmental...
InfraGuard is the civilian affiliate for the FBI. It's a group that has about 23,000 members. And in general, what it was meant for is if you have an infrastructure role, like I work for internet service providers, that's a group that's covered.
Or power plants,
you know, transmission, distribution, transportation, basically anywhere that might be a soft spot for someone to cause trouble. And it's the performance is uneven. You know, there's some areas that they have an InfraGuard coordinator, but they hardly manage to have meetings. And then there's some places, like New York, they have a very busy practice there, and there's, like, events every month. And you know, it's a lot of training and outreach type stuff. And it is not the devil that people think it is. I mean, it's a...
Alex Jones flipped out on InfraGuard because of the whole, they had, shoot the kill powers and all that stuff.
Oh,
and they weren't
no.
really
hell
part
no.
of the government. Well, it's according
no.
to him.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's completely over the top. No, joining InfraGuard is not any different than, it'd be like if InfoSec Island, which is a big information security website, if they had local chapters, it's kind of like that. There's education and stuff and if you are in an area where you occasionally need the attention from the Bureau, you get to know the coordinator, and it's helpful.
So anyway, so Chet was involved with InfraGuard, and then he came over to create this organization with you and an initial group of people. And can you talk about who that initial group of people was? I mean, Mark was supposed to be involved, right? I mean, I don't know.
Publicly, if you go read the Mark Albertson articles, I believe that's on the Examiner, and it talked about Mark Rash as general counsel.
Tell everybody who Mark Rash was.
Mark Rash was the head of the DoD cybercrime unit from about, I think, 1990 to 2000 of the years he was there.
Yeah.
And so he's a lawyer in private practice now. And I believe they had Susan Gorman was listed, and she used to be head of security for the New York Stock Exchange. I don't want to step on any toes here by mentioning someone that hasn't had their name come out in the official press. So those are two names that have come out. I'm fairly sure I'm going to read this article so I don't out anybody that hasn't had their name come out already. Give me just a second here. And if you would, go ahead.
Hey, did you guys? Oh, hey, we'll take this opportunity, Brooks Bain. We have a question for you from the audience here. Kirk Canyon has a question. Kink Canyon, what was your question again for Brooks Bain? He wanted to know if you wear lingerie when you tweet Kathleen Sweets.
Yeah. So the you know how online there's a, especially on Twitter, there's a whole group of paranoid delusionals.
Yeah.
There's this gal who, she was a huge fan of Andrew Breitbart. And when he passed away, I'm going to say that I inherited her, for a lack of better word. She has been an ardent supporter of the transfer. She's learning about federalism as she goes along. She's renounced republicanism and neocon ideology, which is awesome. And she's a shitster, and she likes to mix things up. And she's, you know, when I talk to her on the phone, it sounds like she's already been drinking about, you know, 5 or 6 shots and had a couple of packs of cigarettes already. She's an older gal, from what I can tell. And these guys,
I like her Twitter Abby.
So these guys think that because she's such an ardent supporter and kind of follows the entire trenches team around, that is really one of my socks. But she's gone on, this is where it gets hilarious to me. I mean, I belly roll laughed on this one night. She's done several radio shows, and this group of Breitbart trolls, I refer to them, you say Breitbot, I call them Breitbart, as in they aren't Breitbart.
these and they're not usually very bright either.
Yeah, they're the Breitbart trolls, who are, you know, some of them are probably part of the Breitbart organization, as far as I could tell. I don't know. They think that I'm, you know, that she's a sock. But she's gone, done radio shows and talked to Gary Snyder, has his wife. He's a libertarian up in Indiana. He's got a new radio program called Indiana Talks, and his wife is doing a libertarian-based show. And she's gone on her show even. And so here's the getting back to Todd Kincannon, this is what's funny. He theorized, I had a few of my followers point this out one night. He theorized that I'm really the voice, and that I use a, what do you call it? I'm quoting, voice changer gizmo.
Wait a second. Are they accusing you of being the swatter?
No, they're accusing me of being Kathleen.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's what he's asking you about. Oh, so the lingerie.
He's one of your socks.
Yeah.
She's a trap. Got it.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool trap. She seems legit.
But she's, she's just a diehard. She's passionate about America, like so many of us are. And she's just going through the process of learning, like a lot of the other folks. And much rather have her as an ally than an enemy, that's for sure. She's hardcore. So there's that.
Catty Idiot wants to know why Brooks is afraid to debate. I don't know. Maybe Catty Idiot tried to debate you on Twitter. He says, ask
Damn.
Why he pussies out and blocks.
Damn it. I mean, you know how it is. It's, you only have so many hours in the day, and when you've got all sorts of people trolling you, from Marxists to left-wing Democrats, social Democrats, to neoconservatives who claim to be conservatives, to you name it, I don't have time to hold everybody's hand who wants to, quote, debate me. Sorry. And if you're an ass, I'm just going to block you and move on. I mean, I might take a couple of swipes at you, but I try to keep things pretty respectful. There was a time that I didn't, but I've moved on from that. I think Vince can attest. I've been pretty respectful in my Twitter stream over the last few months, at least, anyway. Or maybe he can't.
Right on. Okay, I think we're going to take a break. We got some callers lined up. Do you guys want to stick around for another hour, or what's up?
I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, I want to get into some of this other stuff. I mean, he's reading this thing to get into more of what I want to find out about what this
right on.
Is.
Okay. We're going to add some more callers to the mix here, too. We got Shady Playa, who's my Minister of Foreign Relations on Late Night Blog Talk Radio. He's going to have a report for me in the second hour. Also, the lovely, the talented, the sexy, the sinful Soul Butter will be on the air as well. And we'll take more calls. It's Vincent the Bay with Brooks Bain and Neil Rauhauser. And we'll be right back after these messages from Primus. (347) 826-7667. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com/VincentTheBay. Ultra long.
Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince in the Bay. Call in now, biatches, 347-826-7667. And now, back to the show.
For the nigga who be talking loud and holding his dick, talking shit, he better lay low. For the bitch that said I got some shit up out of my dick, now she's sick, she better lay low. For the niggas who be claiming my hood and really ain't for my gang, better lay low. I hope he don't be thinking I'm just talking and I won't do a thing. Really hope so.
You already know what it is. The ITV back up in this for another 15 minutes, less than 15 minutes to go. I'm here with Neil Rauhauser and Brooks Lane, and we're going to welcome now my Minister of Blog Talk Relations, Shady Playa, for a special news report. What's up, Shady Playa? Is this thing on? Am I muted? Hello?
I hear you.
Shady Playa, are you there? Going once, going twice.
Yes, I'm here, Vince. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. What is up in the world of late night BTR? What do you have to report?
I don't have much to report today, but all I know is that Goofy Bone was hacked by 49ers fans yesterday night, and he is currently fighting them off. He's currently in the hospital.
Is it just me, or is he Patriot Gregging like a motherfucker? Does it sound like his audio is choppy?
Testing.
Yes. You know, we also have the lovely Soul Butter here. Soul Butter, can you confirm that, is it just me or is his audio choppy? Soul Butter, are you there?
I don't know. Never even seen me. I don't even know if I'm on the video.
Oh, you've been unmuted this whole time.
I didn't even hear you scream me. That's awesome.
Oh, no, I never do. Tell me if you're calling in.
He's chopping. His voice is chopping out. You can't hear him.
Shady Playa. And how about me? Am I okay? Am I clear?
You sound fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
My audio is usually not obvious.
Are you stealing Wi-Fi from your neighbors? What are you doing, dude?
You have to mute yourself, bro.
Totes mute. Self-mute, bro. I'll mute him.
Vince, I have a question.
Yeah, what is it?
What's up with Spyco? What is he banned? What happened? I
didn't ban. I did not ban Spyco.
Okay.
I actually banned one of his socks. So what I'm thinking is maybe, because I think Blog Talk Radio IP bans, so any accounts he has linked to that, it's probably going to get, you know, cross-banned, and that's fine. He just has to change his IP and log back in. I mean, he's fucking lead hacksaw, isn't he? I mean, he knows the basics.
I think so. I think he's...
Okay,
what's
the problem?
I don't know. Everybody in the chat room's pissed off.
You know, turn Spyco into some fucking martyr. He's a troll.
I'm not. I'm just simply, I don't know what happened. I don't know Spyco. I'm just telling you.
I actually played Primus tonight specifically because I woke up in a chat room this morning with Meeps, Ghost, and Spyco, and X You Out.
He woke up in a chat
X You Out played Primus for me. It was awesome.
Nice.
But I got to hear Meep's voice for the first time ever.
That's exciting.
Have you heard her voice?
No, I'd like to.
Really cute. She sounds uber cute.
Danny said I sound fat. That's
dude, that's the first thing to go for with chicks. Go for the weight thing. See if that pushes a button.
That's funny.
All right. Speaking of pushing the weight button, we are now joined by our house juggalo, Shadow DXS. What's up, Shadow?
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop.
What's going on, Vince?
Floss is it's easy to patrol because he doesn't know. He hasn't figured out the spam thing yet. So it auto mutes him. It's awesome.
Yeah, we're setting up the campaign of ban Spyco before shitstorm rolls in.
I did not ban Spyco. I banned one of his socks.
Right, but you should have done that because that wasn't cool.
Well, it wasn't cool that he was spamming me with a sock. He can just spam me with Spyco, and I can put him on timeout. That's how it works.
Yeah, but see, now he's all butt mad, and like he's trying to come at you with like a VPN and shit. He's going to come at you with Tor, dog. You don't want that shit.
He's going to Tor me? Are you serious?
Send him a,
he's going to Tor you, dude.
I better just end the show. He's going to Tor me?
Send him a Valentine.
You are.
Send him a Valentine.
I mean, like, straight up, he's going to Tor you. He's going to Tor you.
Just no text bombs, please. No text bombs. I didn't like that. It's one of my least favorite things.
So who's the political fucknut besides Rawhauser that you got on here?
Oh, that would be someone that I think you might find interesting. Brooks Bain. He's a Federalist. He's more right wing than you, dude. He's so right wing. He's fucking left wing. All right.
Oh, that's like some East meets West shit. Hold up.
No, it's other level shit that you just haven't tuned into yet, bro.
Well, I'm still a young jet, so like, you know, I got a ways to learn. I'm sorry if I sound a little fucked up tonight. I got an abscess in my mouth. And
you always sound
me.
Fucked up.
Well, yeah. I had to take a lot of drugs to combat the pain. I ain't even going to try to find.
Hey, did you hear about Anonymous? Did you hear about Anonymous? They hacked the Federal Reserve today.
Man, they didn't hack the Federal Reserve, okay? We got to, like...
They totally... It's at Xamarin.com. It must be true. Insider or examiner.com, it must be true.
Straight up going to put my nuts on their website, man.
Ah, Spyco.
Yeah, see, Spyco's back.
All right, cool. I think he's using the power of Tor.
Yes, Tor me, Spyco.
The Spyco hammer. Does Spyco have a big fat hammer?
Spyco always got
I don't know, hammer. But...
I think you're getting Thor and Tor mixed up.
But he's gone now. But Sang Rose was in the chat room earlier. Okay, Danny Dantelion wants to be muted. We'll facilitate that. Anybody else? Spyco, of course, wants to be muted. Spyco, 2 minutes for scrolling. Anybody else? While I'm on the chat board, anybody else?
I think the whole chat room wants to scroll, homie.
Oh, last night was the worst.
The case, if that's the case, I will put the chat room into chat room martial law.
Hey, whoa. How about you're like Patriot Reagan, homie.
Okay.
All I heard was
that's it. You know what? That's you guys are trying to DDoS me, you faggots.
Oh no, Ben.
Sorry, I had to come to this, people.
What happened?
We've just instituted chat room martial law. No one is a no free speech zone, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, man. Hey, I'm not trying to tell you how to run your show, but your actions are leading towards a Russell League takeover.
No, what are you talking about? They've already taken my show a billion times. It's ridiculous. It's not even funny anymore.
Oh, like the show increases like over 9,000 when they do that. But I mean, like you inadvertently lose your show.
Not true. I hate that fucking 9,000.
9,000? There's no way that could be right!
Exactly.
Thank you, Napa. Thank you, Napa. I appreciate that. Goddamn it, Napa.
They're gearing up for their Russell match.
WrestleMania. I know. Oh, yeah, it's WrestleMania coming up.
Oh, did you do the lineup?
WrestleMania?
I'm doing the heavyweight championship against the Jester.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
What's this? What up, Neil?
I watched the Jester. I watched the Jester recompose his Ron Paul retort tweet like about 12 times today. I finally had to call him out on it.
Yeah,
I retweeted it. I first saw it. I was like, oh, that's a good one. I retweeted it, and then I was I looked online. I was like, where the fuck did that go?
We got Shadow here, and he's like the subject matter expert on the Jester, and I think we need the 3 minute situation report there. What's going on with those guys?
All right, well, DesterSec, as I like to refer to it, is having a little bit of an internal issue right now as to what it is that they want to tweet. Normally they got the shit down pat, but unfortunately one of them is on their period right now, so when they start yipping and yapping, they start tweeting shit that's emotional, and it, you know, gives it away that it's more than one person, so they got to retract it and possibly come out with new shit.
Hmm. You know, while we're on the subject, I was poking around in some old backups today, and I found the 1,300 mentions prior to the July 9th takeover, and I had put that up as a paste bin, and someone had gotten it whacked. And I've always been curious if there was some chatter in there that would show who was involved in the setup. And I went ahead and I popped it up on a paste bin, and I forget what I titled it, but
that was reading in there. That was a part of Op Russell Rawhauser, and that was glorious. I mean, to just fort your efforts to go out there and publicly broadcast and stuff like that, people just had to, you know, step on that.
All right, the Jester update from the clown himself, Shadow DXS. Should have some ICP working as your background music, dude, when you report on the Jester. I don't know if I have ICP on my fucking switchboard here, dude. I don't know if
Please don't.
Get some carnival music. Keep it neutral, man, because people get butt mad when you want to start playing the song of my people.
Please don't.
Oh,
please
I would
don't.
Not dare expose my audience to that for more than 3 seconds. I was just going to see if I had it, because I think I loaded it up for you for like a special, because they do a...
Yeah, it was Christmas.
Santa Claus song, yeah. It was a Christmas song. They made it into my Christmas special. That's where they will stay.
That shit was glorious, too.
That's
it was
terrible.
That and Korn. God, everybody hated your show that day.
Music. Huh?
Why would you do that? Why would you do that, Vince?
Because I like Shadow DXS. He kind of bunked the myth of juggalos being not cool.
Don't get me wrong, man. There are some really stupid juggalos out there, but in the same vein, there's also really stupid anons, really stupid, you know, fucking liberals, and really stupid fucking Republicans out there. So I mean, like, you got your stupid in, like, every fucking group. That's the disease of humanity itself. And it's not just one little group. I mean, like, look at the Jews, you know?
Oh, okay.
Don't do
you can't
groups.
Take Jews.
Don't
you can't
do
take Jews on the show, dude. New rule. You can't. Oh, wait, no, wait, I think they rescinded that rule, actually. My bad. Yeah.
Oh, so I can take Jews?
No, never mind. Never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind. There was a previously a rule that you couldn't say three different words, and Jew was one of them, but we resolved that. My bad. Continue.
I can say penny pinchers or, you know, Israelites.
We were just going to say Hebrew. Replace it with Hebrew.
I got a thesaurus of Q jokes here, man. I'm straight.
Yeah. No, you've got material. Totally.
It's like that in Polox, man. I mean, like, they're easy to fuck with.
All right, I'm going to tweet Chester. Tell him we're talking about him.
Oh, he already knows. He knows. He's everywhere that I'm at.
My ass.
The Jester stock.
Wake up, Jester. Somebody's got to be awake.
Hey, just tweet to Mach 2600 and tell her to fire up the Jester account real quick.
Oh, shit.
Oops, my bad.
Oops.
Sorry, Linda. I didn't mean to do that.
You forgot. I left the whole chat room
fucking
locked down this whole time. My bad, people. Wow, that was a long time I'm out there.
Yeah, man, I think you broke your 2-minute rule.
Jack is trying to hacksaw into my... trying to unmute himself.
Everybody's mad. What are you going to do to make it up to them, Vince?
I'll make sweet love to one of them.
What?
Yeah.
You're breaking up.
You first. Shadow second.
I'm saying that, you know, I could like show him some titties or something. You know, that'll work.
Oh, God. Do that tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, it's Big Titty Tuesday. Do that tomorrow.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's cold outside. My nipples are hard. You know, I ain't been in something like this. Sick.
Disgusting. All right, we've got another. This might be somebody that might actually contribute to the show. Let's see who this is. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Who's that?
Hello there. I decided to call in to voice my outrage at this obvious censorship.
Oh, yes, please. Sang, are you calling on behalf of the people of the chat room?
No, screw those guys.
Yeah, should I come back on chat room martial law?
Fuck them niggas.
I can't believe I let him on there so long. That was kind of mean.
I thought you were doing it on purpose. I didn't want to say anything.
Well,
I was like,
that's what I forgot about it.
And Bunce is a dictator.
Yeah. No, dude, yes, but don't get it twisted. Everybody always says, oh, you're like Hitler, dude. I'm like, no, dude.
No, he's more like
Duce. I'm Mussolini. I'm a fascist. If I was a dictator, I'd be a fascist dictator.
You're a fascist. There's a difference.
Whatever, you know what I mean.
Hey, is that like...
People tyrant. I want to talk to that motherfucker.
Who?
Whoever this ultralist is, whoever the hell you said he was.
Well, what are you talking about, dude?
The fucking far right...
Let's talk to Brooks.
Oh, Brooks. Yeah, Brooks is on the air. So go ahead. You get a question for Brooks?
Yeah, hey, man, what color is your panties?
Mussolini in the Bay.
We need Brooks.
Oh, my God.
Put us all on mute.
Yeah, Brooks, you don't have to answer that. It's just Shadow DXS. Nobody cares.
Brooks, you have to answer it. You have to answer it. Don't take any shit from them. Just push it right back to him.
Yeah, Brooks,
you got testicles.
They kind of fell asleep. That happens to a lot of people on my show. A lot of people call in and just kind of nod off.
Hey, Brooks, I'm actually a registered Republican. Like, I voted against Obama twice.
I don't think
he
cares about
that. I'm not a Republican.
You're not a Republican? What are you?
A Federalist.
You're a what?
A Federalist.
You're a Federalist?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Why?
It's an ideology that our founding fathers shared.
So why are you?
I can tell Shadow's under the influence here. He's not very snappy with the comebacks. Usually you can barely get your mouth closed before he's on top of the statement.
But that's all boring stuff. I wanted to get back into the Project Vigilant, and I wanted to talk about Adrian Lamo for a
a little bit too.
Yeah.
That's my homeboy. Oh, wait. We got a consensus on this. The three of us on the phone to talk about our buddy Adrian. Adrian's my best friend ever, man. That dude got fucking Manning locked up, man. I would buy that dude dinner and fuck him.
Sexy.
He's what? So, he's at six? At six?
Yeah. At six. I would straight up give him some of this in cans.
So, but, Neil, did you look through that thing you were reading? Is there anybody else you can talk about?
Yeah, I mean, I was just looking at the, you know, there's an article about the big names involved. And the other ones that I hadn't mentioned before, Kevin Manson was a senior instructor at the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center.
And he was also the CyberCop connect with NC4.
Oh, it might have been him, and it might have been George Johnson, who's another name that came out in recent TV intrusion.
Oh,
hey, Neil.
I know Kevin was part of that.
Hey, Neil.
Uh-huh.
Tom Ryan says hello, by the way. Ah, Tom, my good buddy. Yeah. And one other name mentioned, Ira Winkler, and I think he got out a while ago. And I've never talked to any of those guys. Don't know much about them. That was above and beyond anyone I ever got to speak to.
So, Vince.
Yo.
You had mentioned that you heard through the grapevine that Aubrey Chernick.
Yes. Involved with Breitbart.
Yes.
The through the grapevine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know somebody that is friends with Breitbart for like 10, 15 years. In fact, you might know her.
I was friends with him for like 15 minutes. Does that count?
Andrew or Aubrey?
No, Breitbart.
Andrew.
That makes you his best buddy for life, and you can sell merchandise with his image on it. There's been a proof of that over and over.
I heard that dude's funding a lot of stuff. He does PJP TV. He does Breitbart. I think he does. I want to say he's like part of FreedomWorks and that kind of, or some sort of.
No, he was the trustee for the AIPAC lobbying chapter in the U.S.
Okay, there you go. Bingo. Hebrews.
Here's my question.
Got shit going on with dildos right now.
So here's my question. If we're going to talk about ideology, so you've got a group of people. I don't know did you guys ever talk about the Chet Uber Tom Ryan phone calls on here?
Yeah, I'm current on that event. What's up?
Okay, so here you got a group of guys that it seems like, at least on the exterior, you've got Ryan and some of his connects, and you've got Uber and their connects, and they're connected with NC4, which is largely funded by Aubrey Chernick, and he's tossing money into PJTV, and Aubrey's, you know, pitching money into Breitbart, unconfirmed. That hasn't been confirmed yet. But we do know that Aubrey and Andrew were really good friends because Andrew spoke at PJTV's opening gala back in, 2006. So they've known each other for a long time. So Aubrey's a huge Israel first kind of guy. I mean, like, he is the Israel firsters, Israel firster, if you know what I'm saying. So here's Vigilant running their platform on CyberCop, NC4. I don't know. And they've got Kevin, who is, you know, direct connect to NC4. And then you got Ryan and all his buddies. And you got the Breitbart crew. So you've got all these people with an Israel first perspective all fighting against each other online. And at what point do these guys finally realize, like, oops?
Israel firsters. I didn't know there was a word for that. That's awesome.
The whole intrusion business is kind of strange how that came down. Let me see. This is outside the bounds of non-disclosure, so I can talk about it. There was a period of time where PV was studying Tom Ryan and his contacts. And this was apparently triggered by that Robin Sage stuff that Ryan did back at the end of 2009, beginning of 2010. And
and that would have been maybe a year and a half ago. And then they seemed to have reached some sort of agreement or had abandoned the project because he was no longer of interest. And the stuff that came out on Paranoia here on January 7th, you literally have two absolutely batshit crazy Israel firster foot soldiers who were involved in getting in there and, you know, turning up that address book. And I don't think they realized, you know, that they were poking, you know, at the number one lobbying group for Israel here in the U.S. I mean, it's just, it's nonsensical. And, you know, it's all driven out of some strange obsession over me. But that was kind of I was mad for about half an hour when I saw that. And then I started looking and it was like, this is going to backfire. It's going to backfire on everybody. And, you know, I've just kind of been quietly watching since then. But it's a symptom of, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it, but it's weird.
Well, but has anybody else thought of the same thing? You have all these players that are, you know, like Shadow, you're grateful for Lamo and what he did with Manning, and which is kind of part of the same ideology, kind of part of the same mindset. You know, typically when I'm researching somebody or some organization, I like to go to the ideology, you know, the foundational thinking, the core of what someone thinks, to try to understand what sort of decisions they might make. So here you have all these guys that appear, you know, we've seen years of discussion from all of these players, and they all appear to be on the same side ideologically with regard to what we've been talking about. So is it, I'm just trying to understand, Neil, you're trying to say that you think these people are kind of embarrassed that they came to loggerheads and then finally realized, oops, is that what you're saying?
No, I think you've got some people who, the ones who are involved in this, the approach to Project Vigilant, you have some that are just obsessive and not very bright, you know, not on top of their game, acting driven by neurology rather than ideology. And I suspect, you know, given the history of the guys that were in and around us, and it's clear that Tom Ryan had some sort of involvement in that. And, you know, my read on it is that he lost control of the foot soldiers sometime in December, and they decided since he couldn't get the job done, whatever they were trying to accomplish, they looks like they took the case file and just made off to Paranoia with it. And the thing you have to remember about Ryan, that Robin Sage stuff is reportedly something he was doing for one of the bigger defense contractors, and they were attempting to demonstrate the lack of awareness and the need for more sales of security consultants with the U.S. government employees not being on top of their game. And if you, you know, he and Aaron Barr showed up together at Occupy Wall Street. This is not something that's been out in the public eye, but after the H.B. Gary break-in, there was a lot of butthurt in back channels on LinkedIn regarding the intrusion, and Tom was the source of a big chunk of it. So it seems like he might have been in line for a job with them. And I'm speculating here. I don't have any confirmation for that at all. But if you've read in detail Aaron Barr's email that came out of the H.B. Gary intrusion, his whole game was poaching business from Northrop Grumman. So here you have two guys that have in the past been involved in kind of dirty pool within the defense contractor sector, and now there's this huge shit sandwich for NC4, which has a bunch of customers in that area. And I just wonder if it wasn't some sort of maneuver to try and discredit them. That was kind of my thought, that would be the money motivation there.
And interestingly enough, you have a cat lady that likes to follow you around, and her name ended up in that dump.
Here's the thing.
Her name ended up in that Paranoia dump. A screenshot, Michelle, used the bits of Yahoo.com, email address, which you know is Zapham, which I don't think she has a Twitter account anymore. So
yeah,
she
I got
ended
the Twitter
up,
account banned. I got that banned at the end of October.
So how did her name end up in that paranoia dump? I mean, what was she doing with PV?
My bet here is that they have a lot of people come through that are, they're curious. And they check out a lot of people because you have, a guy like me, a guy like Lamo, unconventional thinkers. And if you try and research them, you end up with a flood of kind of weird stuff about them. You can't really get a good read. So they have people that come in that are kind of these wild talents. But then they have a lot of people come in who are, if they're clinically paranoid, they look like they got something going on. They've got large collections of information about obscure subjects, and they're very careful about security. And the problem is that when the heat is on, that they have delusions of adequacy, and they will make the wrong choice. They vanish completely. They become extremely aggressive. They dump everything in order to prove, some idea. And, it's not at all surprising that she could get in along those lines. And in this case, I think that's probably a good call. I heard from Chet during August and September of last year, and someone was prying on the portal using my credentials. And then they tried a bunch of other people that were known to work there. And, he just flat out asked me, he said, "Is this you?" And I said, "I quit." And I said, "You've asked me to come back for certain projects, and I've not done so. If I wanted back in, I would just agree to work on a project. Makes no sense." And that was, and I think there's a parallel there. Ryan's done a bunch of stuff in my direction over the last year and a half or so, and someone that was clearly organized and technical was involved in attempting to pry that open. And at the same time, you have this whatever was coming at Barrett Brown. And it all seems like it's the same little cluster of people involved in those activities.
So you're denying that it wasn't you that agitated him to the point of flipping out?
No. Barrett, I knew from 2009 he was doing some interesting media stuff. I went to like one or two of their conference bridges, and I was just going different directions. And, so we talked a little bit. We got to know each other a little bit, and that was that. And he really was out of line in late 2010, early 2011. And I would close, emails to him with the line, "Barrett, don't do crime." I could just tell the kid was going to get in trouble. I mean, he was messy and aggressive and just, in that real danger zone where, he was coming up on 30 but still acting like he was in his early 20s. And that's a huge warning sign. But as far as, having spent time, yanking Barrett's chain, I trolled him once, and it was really funny, but that's like 2 years ago. And, I would not wish harm on the guy. I mean, he's, with whatever his methods were, the stuff with Tunisia and some of the other North African revolutions, I mean, the online activists certainly played a role in that, and you've got to respect someone who's willing to stand up and do that kind of stuff. But, I was unaware that that was going on, because I basically, probably by about the summer of 2011, it was pretty much the end of our talking.
Well, now I have to put it.
Hang on a second. We're gonna stop the Snorefest for a second and bring on a good friend of the show. I can't believe he called in. None other than Ron Breinert is here, ladies and gentlemen. I think. Well, it's Schmoop with Ron Breinert. I think. Is that right, Schmoop?
Oh God, save us.
Yeah. How's it going, man?
Yeah. Is it true you're at Ron Breinert's house right now?
Yeah, me and him are just smoking some crack at his house right now. Hold on. He actually wants to talk. One second.
Sounds like they're watching the game.
Hey, Vince, how's it going, you prick?
Ron, what's up?
What color suit do you want to be buried in, you prick? Hey, Raha, you're over there laughing. I'm going to come over there and kill you with a knife. I'm going to come over there, buddy, a toast.
So it's a knife this time. Great, great. Well, you just bring it on, buddy. You bring it on.
No, I'm going to buddy your toast this time.
Yeah, sure you are. I'm in New York. I'm always in Union Square. You come down and talk to me in person, you little punk.
And Brooks Bane and Chet Albert. Listen, I run the Raw story right now, you prick. Okay?
No, I think you meant to say you got run out of Raw story for being a crazy-ass motherfucker.
No. You got to understand.
That's out of control.
What you don't understand is that I actually run the Raw story. We actually done a deal, you know, because me, Emick, and, you know, we're in cahoots, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, we're in there, and the guy's like, hey, I'll sell you the whole fucking company and shit. And fucking, you know, I'm running Raw story right
now. I can tell just by listening to you talk that you are a man with a mobile, muscular mouth, but there is no way that you gave Mike Rogers a high-quality enough blowjob that he would let you anywhere near that operation again.
Hey, Neil, what kind of suit you want to be buried in?
Well, my birthday suit, man. Just leave me naked under the sky and let the birds eat me.
Okay, I'm going to come up with it.
Speaking of naked, aren't there naked pictures of you all over the internet, Neil?
You know, I was fucking hot. I was in good shape.
I go over there and I jack off through naked pictures all the time, you know, when I'm smoking some crack and shit.
No, you know, man, I was so buff. I was the one straight guy they let into the 100 best male nudes on Flickr back in 2006. And What's that?
Never mind. 347-826-7667 is the number. We got 15 minutes left with Neil Rauhauser, Brooks Bane, Ron Breinart. Schmoop is also somewhere on the line. And, crap, am I missing somebody? No, that's it. Me.
What?
I have one final question in this short amount of time.
Hey, hurry up, Brick. I don't got all day. I'm trying to smoke some crack. Come on.
Hey, is Breinart, is that German? Anyway, so... the Chet, he's talking to Tom Ryan on the phone, right? This paranoia dump that we saw, and he says that you developed a quote Twitter warfare engine for governmental use, and that you sniped it, and that you took it to use for the AFL-CIO. And his concern was that an engine like that could be detrimental or dangerous. I think he used the word dangerous, if I'm not mistaken, in an election cycle. Can you talk about that?
Well, you know, I could talk about it, or I could just warm up my Twitter warfare engine and blow your presence right off the bat.
Holy shit. Totally do that, dude. That'd be awesome.
Might be kind of difficult with mine, but anyway, continue.
Here's the situation. You know, I've known Chet for a long time, and his health started to slide 5 or 6 years ago. I mean, really seriously slide. And everything that he said in that call is basically a glorification, a regurgitation of the conspiracy theories from the crazy cat lady in New Jersey. And
hey, don't be talking about my mom like that, okay?
Yeah, your mom, your girlfriend, and your sister-in-law. I get how that works.
You know how it is.
So,
I got a
rack full of equipment. It was a retired computational fluid dynamics supercomputer back, I don't know, like 2009 or something. I had a picture of it. And I posted, I wrote a diary about it and called it the Computational Troll Dynamics Supercomputer. And I just made up some shit about persona management, and I slapped it up on the net and thought all about, you know, just completely forgot about it. It was like a 15-minute, you know, fun creative writing thing that I did. And the crazy cat lady in New Jersey has gone around telling the story and dramatizing it and signing up new people who believe in it to the point where she, you know, went to chat with the particulars, and he didn't get, you know, she was in vetting, he didn't catch that she was an absolute crackpot, and they literally told the feds that I had this thing somewhere online, and it was being used to rig elections.
So you're saying that Crazy Cat Lady and Chet Uber were complicit in telling the story to the feds?
What happened in the crack?
Oh, yes. No. I
you
have,
smoked it all, Ron. I mean,
I'm
he's the name we shall not say.
Yeah, that's right.
He's whose name we shall not say.
I'm not going to release it yet. Maybe never. But I have a back-channel email thread that is me having a very pointed discussion with Chet. And you can see what happened if you look through those messages.
Well, we have to wait for you to release them, right?
It's one of those things that may never come out. I mean, I'm kind of hoping that this is sort of the final death blow for the nuts in New Jersey, and that they're going to scamper off and go bother someone else because it's.
Hey, don't look like I'm from Jersey. My mom's from Jersey. Don't be making fun of people from Jersey, okay? I'm over there smoking crack with the Smokey from Jersey Shore, okay?
My
God. She's 30 years old and is still good, okay? 30 years old.
I don't know.
Hey, Ron, what are you watching on TV back there? It sounds like is Schmoop just hanging out watching TV? What are you guys watching?
Oh, we're watching we're watching WWE right now. Fucking watching some dudes and shit, and fucking we're snorting some crack.
Wait,
WWE.
So you're watching a bunch of half naked, greased up men rolling around on.
Yeah, that's right. That's how we like it over here in New York.
Sounds kind of gay, dude.
I know, but, it's the best thing to watch when you're snorting crack.
Guys in their underwear, pumped up, rolling around on the floor, essentially make that
yeah.
Like dry humping each other for 25 minutes.
Oh, man, Ron owns the Speedo fan tag on Twitter. He owns that shit.
Okay, totally.
He has the ultimate
chat just done
picture collection.
Hey, don't be telling my secret. Correct. What are you doing there, tough guy, huh? What's wrong with you?
As always, the show finds some way to go off the rails. Thank God we got this far. I appreciate everybody calling in. Wow, we only have...
We got Aaron Barr on the line? Where the fuck is he at?
Aaron Barr, dude. Oh, Jesus Christ, you ruined everything.
Walk in, ruffle everybody's Jimmy.
People scared off Soul Butter. She's back, though. That's good.
Bafo 77.
She's so sexy. God, we got... Oh, tomorrow... It's all dedicated to Soul Butter, actually. Tomorrow is Big Titty Tuesday, and Soul Butter is a featured guest co-host.
Shout out to Jester, by the way. He's actually tuned in.
Oh, Jester finally caught up to speed. We were talking shit about you, Jester. You missed it.
Hey, Jester, how are you, you big prick? You over there with your fucking clown face and tangling down shit? I'm going to come over there, okay? I'm going to come over there. And I'm gonna beat you up very nice. I'm gonna grease you up first. I'm gonna put you with a Speedo, and then I'm gonna shove a bat up your ass. And then when I'm done doing that, I'm gonna go ahead and shove a lead pipe up your mouth too. You prick.
Wow, those are fighting words. For real.
And then I'm gonna take all your mom's crack.
Jester says the show is pretty amusing for once. Well, I
didn't know something we don't.
I'm catching everything out of context here. I'm getting bombarded by Kilgore's asking, why are you picking on Vince in the Bay? Calm down, buddy. Why are you so mad at the middleman, pal?
Hey, Kilgore, what kind of suit you want to be buried in, huh?
Kilgore, just call in, man.
Like Armani?
Last time, bro.
What?
Man, my Twitter is lighting up, dude. I got two. Actually, three, including what? We got three rock stars on here.
What?
Yep, there he is.
Who? What?
What is like the biggest thing that
hit
the internet that you haven't heard of yet?
Who?
The hashtag what? WUT.
Who? What?
No. Who? What? Yes. What?
What?
Yep. That's it.
Yes.
Correct.
Who?
No. What?
Who?
What?
Why?
Who's on first things? This is terrible.
What?
I got 7 minutes left. Jester, call in. Call in, Jester. The lines are open. Okay, we got some callers. Let's squeeze in some people here. I think Soul Butter's back. What's up, Soul Butter?
Hi. Hey. How's it going? What?
Oh, my God.
What?
It's going better now that you're here. Thank God. I can't wait for tomorrow's show.
I'll try to make it. I have stuff to do.
Are you serious?
Why?
You know I live on the East Coast, bro.
Why?
I'm from the Bay Area, but I live on the East Coast.
Where?
What, do you want my address and social and all that good
yes.
stuff? Like that chick last night.
Why not?
Dude, that girl, she said she was barely 18. I take her on her word, but that was kind of sketch. I'm glad she got turned off by my show. I'm glad she got offended and won't come back because that sounded very, very sketchy.
I felt like she was wearing, like, huge gold earrings and, like, going to punch somebody or something. I don't know. She needed to relax, man. Relax.
Totes. All right, let's take one more call here. Let's see who this is. Go ahead, caller, block caller. You're on the air. Who's this?
This is fucking Tiny Tony here. I don't know who the fuck this guy is on the fucking panel.
Hey,
what part of New York he's from, but he's got to be from the fucking worst part ever because he don't know Tiny Tony. He never mentioned me once, this motherfucker.
Come on. Give me the ball. Come on, let's go. Right now, give me the ball. Come on.
Hey,
come
listen,
fast,
take
fast,
your
fast,
fucking
go.
Ball
and
crawl back into your mother's
come
dirty
come
tongue.
Come on,
okay, I don't know what fucking
come on, New York. Brooklyn, New York. Give me the ball. Come on.
Yeah, Tiny Tony here, Queens.
I'll do it for you.
Hey, come on.
Okay, there's one of them.
Put him on, you prick.
Tiny.
Put him in the room because I don't have any pants on right now.
All right. It's okay, darling. The show's on. It's going to be end shortly, and you and I will have some alone time in the green room, I promise.
No.
Oh, yes. It's okay to. Okay, never mind. All right, let's. While those guys are cooling off, let's try this number here. I think this might be Spyco. Spyco.
Hey, what's up, Vincent the Pain?
Nothing much, dude. What's going on with you?
Oh, I don't know. I've been tweeting at you. I've been trying to get at you in the chat room, and so have my friends Gloss and Russell Radio and everything. Why don't you want to talk with us?
I'm busy moderating a show, hosting the show. I wish I could be. I could moderate the chat room simultaneously, but it's tough. I bounce back and forth and do the best I can.
So are you saying I can't come on air? What?
On the air. I didn't say that. You're on the air.
Oh, I'm on the air right now, so it's just me and you.
No, it's me, you, Neil Rauhauser, Brooks Bain. Ron Breinert, Schmoop, Tiny Tony.
Uh-huh.
Got all kinds of people here. Yeah.
Well, it's been a fun show. It really has.
What?
I mean, the chat
room
off the wall. Great, great conversations going on all night in the chat room.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. I appreciate your scrolling tonight.
Tons
amazing.
Of quality tweets.
You and Floss.
The pictures were pretty.
You, Floss, and Tantalion are commended tonight for your valiant work, totally turning my chat room into a complete abortion. I appreciate that.
Killed the chat room.
Just destroyed it.
Can we just say game over and fucking end this shit? Really?
Absolutely.
I mean, come on.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, Spyco. Appreciate you coming out. Really quickly, Tiny Tony, do you have anything you want to say before we get out of here?
I mean, I don't think it's funny you making fun of abortions and everything like that, you know? Fucking A, it's abortions, man. The fucking Tiny Tony does not support that. I'm pro-life, pro-gun, and, fucking Brooklyn, the fucking place, Queens.
What part of Brooklyn are you from? Quick.
The fucking nice part.
Where? Name the neighborhood.
127th? Come on, Vince. Toche. I know you. I know the Toches for a long time.
No, you don't, Tony. 347-867-6667. Anybody and everybody can call in. That's how it works. But we got to wrap it up here, dudes. Really quick, I want to thank Brooks Bain and Neil Rauhauser for being valiant in their effort to stick it out with me this entire time. I had a lot of fun listening to the conversation, despite the nonsense in my chat room. I enjoyed the audio portion. And really quick, Brooke Spain, anything you want to say in before we leave here?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. No, it was good to hang out with you. It was good to chat about some of this stuff. I think there's at least a few people who will be interested. They will comb over the audio. They will make transcripts. They will try to come up with all kinds of conspiracy theory based on this show. So I'm glad to be a part of that.
Sweet. Me too. Neil, final thoughts quickly.
Yeah, I'm with Brooks on that. I mean, having us show up here together, have Shadow come in, Ron Brunert shows up. I mean, that's a quorum, man. This is going to set off some. This is going to set off a year of crazy talk on Twitter. No question about it.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Do you think Stranahan's going to blog about this?
Yes.
Sweet. Yes. I'll be on Breitbart.
Yes.
Yes.
Robert Chase McCain. He will probably turn this into 4 blog posts.
Oh, fuck, yes. I'll be in a 4-parter. This is badass. All right. I want to thank the Jester for hanging out and tweeting the show. Also, really quickly, Soul Butter, final thoughts.
I don't know, dude. Chaos.
Stay frosty, everybody. It's Vince of the Bay. Check me out tomorrow at Big Titty Tuesday. I'm out. Peace.
What the preacher said, he said, no, I'm starting to box with God, learn these words instead. Go to the reflecting, my advice is free. There's a trick to Christian values, and it's compulsory. Stay frosty, that's what the preacher man said.
Stay frosty,
his words still ragged in my head. Can't control your future, can't control your friends in a world without end.
Stay frosty.
Hey, heavy with the sands of time he made me see. Same as Kabbalah day, but for you it's free. God guides us on our journey, but careful with those feet.
Stay frosty
in a world without end.
Stay frosty
like that ancient immortal said. Don't want him to get you go, don't show him where it's yet. And that's just what I did.
Stay frosty.
Woo! Look out!
Stay frosty now.
My hand, I won't look.
Take down your pants.
Are you on the level?
You're going to take down your pants, or do I have to do it for you?
Thank you, very nice.